me smile.
Yeah, I answer, shy all of a sudden. There was some rum involved. He laughs.
Did Jamie drag you over to Katie Hewitt's?
He did.
Did you do a shot for my assist?
Uh-oh. I didn't, I admit. There's a brief silence, and I expect him to give me a hard time about it.
That's okay, he says cheerfully. You can make it up to me by coming to lunch with my family this Sunday.
Blake, I warn. Didn't you tell your mother we broke up?
Nope, because we didn't.
Is this another you need a buffer with your ex situation? I ask warily.
Nah, Molly shouldn't be there. It's just an ordinary Sunday with the fam.
Then why do you need me there? I can almost hear him roll his eyes.
Because we're dating. That's what dating people do. They hang out with each other's families. The food will be epic. And you told me you always see your family on the weekend. You can see mine instead. It'll be nice. And since we don't get back into town until Saturday night, Sunday is your first chance to visit with the Blake Snake anyway.
I give an unladylike snort. Did you just call your dick the Blake Snake?
Well, you haven't named it yet. Unless we're going with, do me, Blake, harder. Yes, yes, yes.
Even though I'm lying here alone, I have to put my hand over my eyes. His impression of me was frighteningly accurate. And really, after all the orgasms he's given me, the least I can do is go to lunch. So when he says,
see you Sunday, baby,
I hear myself agree.
Triple entendres. Blake. Do I look like someone who just had sex in the parking lot behind a gas station? I give Jess a thorough once-over. Tasseled hair, check. Sexed up flush on her cheeks, check. Beard burn on her neck, check. Oh yeah, that's what I like to see. Nah, I answer. You look like my girlfriend. Humor dances in her brown eyes. And just out of curiosity, what does Blake Riley's girlfriend look like? I reach over and tweak one still hard nipple through her shirt. Well fucked. Jess groans in frustration. Okay, pull over at the next gas station so I can use the bathroom to clean myself up. Is that really a risk you're willing to take, J-Babe? You know what happens when we go to gas stations. Hell, I don't think I can ever pump gas again without thinking about pumping Jess. Seeing her fill up the tank of my Hummer was such a turn-on, I had to take her right then and there. Well, not right there. I had the decency to drive to the deserted lot behind the Petro Canada before I ravished her. Now we're back on the road, making the 20-minute drive to my folks' place for lunch. I know she's nervous about it because she keeps fidgeting with the passenger seat. Me? I'm looking forward to seeing the fam and eating the home-cooked meal. This last week of road games was exhausting, and I'm sick of hotel room service. Just don't make any inappropriate double entendres when we're there, Jess warns as I speed off the highway exit ramp. How about a triple entendre? That's not a thing. Single entendres? Also not a thing. Everything's a thing if you make it a thing. I disagree. She sighs. I'm gonna dump you one of these days. I cast her my most innocent smile. No, you're not. And my inner Blake, who I like to imagine is holding a tiny hockey stick, does a happy flip because a remark implies that I've finally worn her down. We're dating, and she knows it. You can't dump someone you aren't dating. Blakey! Mom shouts happily when Jess and I enter the house 5 minutes later. We'd caught her on her way to the dining room, judging by the two aluminum foil-covered dishes in her hands. Hey, Ma. I glide over to kiss her cheek, then rid her of both casserole dishes. Let me help. She clicks her tongue in approval. What a good boy I raised, helping your mother like, Jessica, I didn't see you. Just like that, Mom abandons me for Jess, who looks a bit stunned as she's enveloped in a bone-crushing hug. My mom gives killer bear hugs. Hi, Mrs. Riley, Jess says shyly. How are you doing? I'm great, honey bunch. Was cooking all morning, and everyone knows that cooking is good for the soul. Mom fixes Jess with a stern look. And I don't ever want to hear those words leaving your mouth. Jess blinks. What words? Mrs. Riley, psha! My mom slings an arm around Jess's shoulders. You call me Ma or Mama or Annette. Anything else is unacceptable. Noted, Jess says with a nervous laugh. Thanks for having me over again, Miss Mama. Last time I was here, I left in an honest-to-God food coma. I can't wait for another one. My mother's expression goes bright enough to lit the Air Canada Center. She likes people who like food. So do I. You're going to love everything, she informs Jess. Papa Riley made ribs. Oh, sounds awesome. Mom turns to me. Blakey, shut the front door, please. We didn't raise an animal. Her forehead suddenly creases. I turn around to see what's got her all agitated. Through the door I'd left open, I spot a familiar silver Lexus pulling up the drive. The windows are tinted, so I can't see the driver, but fucking hell. The Lexus was here the day of Brenna's baby shower, too. I slowly turn back to my mother. Kyle trade in his Beamer for a Lexus? I ask hopefully. She shakes her head. He's in the kitchen with Beth and Britt. They came together in Bethy's car. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Hello, everyone. Molly's timid voice sounds from behind me. Those two words prick into my spine like a sharp needle. This is Brenna's doing, obviously. My sister always invites Molly to every occasion known to man, but this shit is getting ridiculous. I can't even enjoy a nice relaxing lunch with my folks without having Molly shoved down my throat. Turn around and say hello, my mother murmurs, her voice audible only to me. She's here now, we can't be rude. I'm not the rude one. What about her? Why the fuck does she have to keep showing up like this? I draw a breath to calm myself, then turn toward my ex-fiance. Hi, I say tightly. The smile on her face looks forced. I don't even bother trying to muster one up. Jess does, but it doesn't quite reach her eyes. Hello again, she says to Molly. Hi, Janet, was it? Jess. Oh, sorry, I'm so bad with names. She's a lawyer. She can pull names out of her ass. I scowl at her before glancing at Jess. Come on, babe. Let me unload these dishes and then we'll get you a drink. I need a drink, too. Or 10. The dining room is empty, but the kitchen is bustling. Beth and her husband are at the counter flipping through what looks like a booklet of beach resorts, while my baby sister Britt leans against the fridge offering her 2 cents. No, don't go to that one, she advises. The food is disgusto central. If you're dead set on Mexico, go to the resort where the girls and I spent spring break. It was gorgeous, and nobody got food poisoning. I don't know if I want to go to Mexico, Beth muses. What do you think, Kyle? Don't you want to go somewhere more exotic? Ooh, like Bora Bora.
Never trust a place with a double name, I declare from the doorway. They always have a high crime rate.
Blakey!
Britt gives me a big hug, then greets Jess with a warm smile.
Hi, Jess. Nice to see you again.
Samesies, Jess answers, before slapping a hand over her mouth. She pins me down with a death glare.
Oh, my God. I'm picking up your stupid lingo. You've corrupted me.
I grin, but she cuts me off before I can make a filthy remark about corruption.
And name one other place like Bora Bora, she orders.
I pause.
New York, New York, duh.
Everyone laughs.
You want a beer, man?
My brother-in-law asks, rising from his stool.
Hit me. Jesse?
I'll just grab a water, thanks.
She wanders over to the cupboards and opens the one that holds the drinking glasses. I guess she remembers where we keep them from the last time she was here. I find myself tracking her every motion as she uses the built-in ice maker on the fridge and then presses a button to dispense water. A warm feeling creeps up my chest. She looks so comfortable in my parents' kitchen. She looks like she belongs here. Footsteps in the hall suck all the warmth from my body and replace it with a chill. Brenna and Molly walk in, and it's easy to figure out why Bren is scowling at me. Molly's eyes look watery. Of course they do. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that she turns on the waterworks when she's in court just to win some sympathy from a jury. 12 on a jury. Yeah, at least half of them would probably be suckered in by those crocodile tears. Molly is very convincing. Time for a change of subject. Hey, I say, nodding to both my sister and my evil ex. How's Harley doing? Molly hesitates.
He's not in the car by any chance, is he?
I want to see that furry little beast so bad. He'll remember me, even after 5 years, I'm positive. Slowly, she shakes her head.
Bleak, I'm sorry to tell you this, but... Oh, fuck. Don't tell me he died. My spine tingles with discomfort. I gave him to some friends in Vancouver. It was hard to get home from work often enough to walk him.
You... I'm not even sure I heard her right. You gave away my dog without telling me?
Her mouth opens and closes and then opens again. You weren't exactly taking my calls.
Bitterness splashes across her face.
But I guess I should have figured out you'd answer if the call was about the dog.
Yeah, I would have, because the dog actually loved me, you lying witch. My shirt collar is suddenly too small. My siblings are looking at me the way you watch a volcano that's about to blow.
Food!
Comes my mother's ear-piercing shout.
Come and get it!
Praise Jesus, I whisper. I need a change of scenery, even if it's only the dining room. We all file in and I steer Jess toward the opposite end of the table from Molly. When we're seated, we all join hands for grace. Jess gives my knuckles a squeeze, so of course I pull her hand onto my fly just to tease her. She pinches me right above the pubes, hard. I have to bite my lip to keep from smiling.
Dear Lord, my mother starts, thank you for these blessings we are about to receive. We are grateful for another Sunday together with family, and for Brenna's good cheer, even while she looks like a beached whale.
Mom,
Brenna gasps.
My mom opens her eyes and gives Brenna a wink.
We pray for the safe delivery of our grandbaby as he makes his way into the world, and for a victory tomorrow night over the Canucks. Who should never have won that last one?
Amen. I hear Jess stifle a snort. The second grace is over, dishes are passed. I offer Jess the platter of ham and then a healthy portion of my father's smoky ribs.
This looks amazing, my girlfriend says.
As the platter moves down the table, I watch my sister Brenna put a tiny dot of potato salad on her plate and then pass it.
You okay?
I ask. The Rileys are big eaters, and if Brenna is off her chow, then I'm worried. My gaze lowers to the huge, swollen basketball under her shirt.
And how long was I on that road trip? You look 50 pounds heavier.
Her jaw falls open.
Who says that to a pregnant woman?
Oh, shut it. You're gorgeous and you know it. But you look bigger.
After a long pause, she lets out a tired sigh.
I am bigger, she admits. I've gained about 5 pounds in the last couple of days.
She rubs the right side of her abdomen and leans back in her chair.
My hands and feet are swollen. I've had a tummy ache every day this week, and I think the morning sickness is back. I threw up twice this morning.
Concern tugs at me. Is that normal?
Brenna rubs her belly again. Charlie thinks it's my stomach rebelling against all the greasy shit I've been putting into it. He could be right. Maybe cut out the Mickey D's and eat some veggies?
Britt suggests from her seat beside me.
See if it helps?
Our sister nods.
Mom made a salad because I asked her to.
Oh!
Molly leaps out of her chair and carries the salad bowl over to Brenna, as if passing it the normal way wouldn't do.
Is there anything else you need?
Brenna shakes her head, giving my ex a sweet smile.
You've spoiled me rotten already this week.
Well...
Molly says, returning to her chair.
I remember how hard it was to be pregnant.
The fork stops halfway to my mouth. I have to play back her words for a second just to be sure she actually said them. But it's true. She sat at my family table and told a bold-faced lie. Again. My sisters are staring at her right now. Pity on their faces. When she moved away to Vancouver, I thought this shit was over. Several thousand miles of distance between us had allowed me to forget just how conniving she was. But now she's back, still trying to hang on to a lie she'd told herself. It's sick. And it's never going to end. There's a sudden zing of pain in my neck and I drop my fork with a clatter. Jesus, I swear.
Blake,
Brenna warns as I get out of my chair.
Where are you going?
Advil, I mumble, heading for the doorway. The truth is, I need a minute away from Molly to regroup. Things can't go on like this. I stumble into the kitchen and fill a glass of water, then guzzle it down. My brain tries in vain to come up with some solution, some way of easing Molly out of all our lives, but I come up with nothing. Someone approaches from behind and I spin around to find Brenna.
Blake, she says in a low voice, you can't just storm off. Her feelings might make you uncomfortable, but they need to be acknowledged. And maybe you shouldn't bring your new girlfriend over without warning us.
My eyes practically bug out. So what? Every time I visit Ma and Dad and want to bring Jess, I should send her a formal invitation and make sure she RSVPs so you know she's coming? Bullshit. She's my girlfriend, Bren. She's welcome here anytime. Her frown deepens. You never had to check with anyone before you brought Charlie here, I point out, the anger in my gut going from a simmer to a boil. Same for Beth and Kyle. So what the hell makes this any different?
You know what makes it different, Brenna hisses. Mal's my best friend. You were going to marry her. Do you realize how insensitive you're being? It kills her to see you with someone else.
Then why is she here? I shoot back. Nobody's holding a gun to her head and forcing her to have lunch with us.
She's here because I want her here, because she's family.
Brenna's cheeks turn bright red.
And she's still in love with you, you stupid idiot.
I take a breath, and another one, and one more for good measure. In fact, I'm 2 seconds away from busting out the mantra Wesley taught me after my knee gave out on me during the playoffs last season. I'm supposed to say, it's going to be okay, 3 times. Except, it's not fucking okay. And it won't be, not as long as my sister keeps throwing my lying ex into my path. That woman broke me. She fucking crushed me. I'm sorry that she still has feelings for me, I say as calmly as I can muster. But she needs to get over them. I've moved on, Bren. It took me 5 fucking years to do it, but I'm finally in a good place again. No, a great place. Jess Canning is my goddamn world. We might have started off as fuck buddies, then took a trip into the friends with Benny's zone. But she's mine now, and she's everything to me. Brenna rubs the bridge of her nose as if she's warding off a migraine.
I'm happy that you're in a good place.
Are you sure? I say bitterly.
But that doesn't change the fact that Molly is still hurting. What happened between you devastated her, Blakey. Do you even care that she's still grieving over the baby you lost?
I press my lips together, and they're actually shaking.
She talks about him all the time. I take her out for dinner every year on what was supposed to be her due date. What would have been his birthday?
What the fuck?
How do you think she feels knowing that she was disposable to you? You two were planning a future.
My mind is still reeling. She celebrates our baby's birthday?
You promised to always be there for her and you just threw her away.
Our fake baby's birthday? Who does that?
I get that you were hurting just as bad, but you guys could have shared that burden together.
Something inside me snaps. Brenna, I warn.
You could have grieved for your baby together.
There was no baby. A chorus of gasps come from the dining room. Brenna blinks.
What?
I struggle to control my breathing. The ferocious trembling of my hands, the red-hot resentment coating my throat like acid. My sister stares at me, waiting for me to explain. There wasn't. She said she was trying to make me. Oh, hell. I spent 5 years trying not to let it come to this. Brenna pales visibly. I can see the moment she figures out what I'm trying not to say because her chin snaps around toward the dining room, as if Molly's trustworthiness could be assessed through 2 walls and a lying, heart-shaped face.
Oh my God,
she mouths. In a heartbeat, My fury dissolves into defeat. Agonizing and weighty, pressing down on my shoulders until I can barely stay upright.
What are you saying?
Brenna whispers. I just shake my head. I can't talk. I can't even think right now. I need air. Yeah, I need air. Without a word, I stalk past my sister, bulldoze past the dining room, fly into the front hall, and stumble out the door.
5-alarm fire. Jess. The silence is eerie, and not just because I'm in the Riley house, the place where silence goes to die. It's eerie because nobody is reacting to the atomic bomb that was dropped in the other room. Nobody is even blinking. Well, except Molly. On the other side of the table from me, Blake's ex is trying to win the award for most blinks per second. Her eyelashes move at the speed of light, each rapid flutter bringing a new drop of moisture. Like everyone around me, I'm unaffected by her tears. I'm worried about Blake, who just stormed out of the house. Either that or the front door decided to slam itself.
Mama,
Molly starts. Blake's mother holds up her hand. The curly-haired woman instantly falls silent. Soft footsteps approach the doorway as Brenna reappears. She's whiter than the tablecloth, her expression utterly wrecked as she stares at her best friend. Then she drops into her chair and drops her head in her hands.
I'm having a migraine, I think.
Oh, no, Molly whispers. Let me... She rises, but as she approaches, Brenna's head snaps up, a challenge in her eyes. Molly takes a step back, and then another. We are all staring at her now. Everyone's probably wondering the same thing I am. What the hell? How do you make up such a monumental lie and then cling to it? I have to wonder if she repeated it enough times that she somehow convinced herself it was true. Molly grabs her pocketbook off the back of her chair. She walks out of the house, and nobody follows her. The door slams a second time. I don't blame Blake for deserting me in the middle of this war zone, but I would like to find him before he does something stupid, like get into his Hummer and beat his head against the steering wheel. I scrape back my chair. The noise it makes is like nails on a chalkboard, echoing in the dining room like a haunted house soundtrack. I'm going to check on Blake, I say awkwardly. I only take 2 steps before Brenna gasps loudly.
I think I'm gonna...
She lurches out of her chair in the direction of the doorway. Since I'm already on my feet and mobile, it only makes sense that I'm the one who follows her hastily into the half-bathroom, where she barely makes it over the toilet before vomiting forcefully. 2 seconds later, I have her hair in one hand and a tissue in the other. She takes the tissue with a shaking hand and wipes her mouth, turning to me with wide, frightened eyes.
I don't feel good.
Then, while I watch, she sort of melts down onto the bathroom floor and buries her face in her hands. By the time I seat myself beside her, Mama Riley is already peeking into the doorway.
I'm going to get you your phone, she says. You need to tell your doctor how you're feeling.
Brenna shakes her head.
It's just... I got upset. I'm so... stressed.
She puts a hand to her chest. Mama Riley disappears anyway. I'm watching Brenna, and for some reason I'm terrified for her. Something is just... off. Brenna, I say softly. Where does it hurt?
My head. And I'm dizzy.
Anyone can get a migraine, but my spidey sense is tingling like crazy. She's sitting with her feet straight out, giving me a view of her swollen ankles. I touch one gently, and when I pull my finger away, the indent is still visible. Brenna, do you know what preeclampsia is?
High blood pressure, right?
Yeah. When my sister was on bed rest in the spring, they were worried about it for her. That's what your symptoms remind me of. Maybe I'm just a nervous Nelly, but... I swallow hard. Will you have your blood pressure checked just to make me feel better? Pretty please? She groans. I'm not having this baby today. I'm only 38 weeks. That's not even dangerous, and I'll bet Brenna knows it. Are you afraid? I ask gently. Hell yes. I let out a shaky laugh, just as her husband appears in the doorway. I know I'm just a first-year nursing student, and not even a very good one, but I tell Charlie my concerns anyway, because I can't help myself. Let's not waste time waiting for the doctor to call back on a Sunday, I suggest. She should go to the ER for a blood pressure check, just to be safe.
Let's go,
Charlie says immediately, while Brenna starts to cry. I spend the next hour worrying that I've sequestered the entire Riley family at a suburban hospital for no good reason. At the ER, Brenna is whisked into an exam room while the rest of the Rileys pace. Blake looks distraught. I can't stand the sight of his worried face, so I plant him in a chair and rub his shoulders until my hands give out. When a young doctor comes out to tell us that Brenna will be transferred to the obstetrical ward for an emergency C-section, Blake hangs his head.
This is my fault, he mumbles. If I hadn't lost my shit, this wouldn't be happening.
I dig my hands into his messy hair and tug until he's forced to lift his head up to look at me. That's a lot of bullshit, Blake Riley. Brenna's had this problem all week. The weight gain, the swollen hands and feet. This doesn't have anything to do with you or Molly.
That's right, the doctor agrees. Nobody knows what causes preeclampsia. There was nothing you could have done except drive here on the double.
We all relocate to a different waiting room, where the Rileys commence pacing again. They are big people, and more than one hospital patron leaves the room to stay clear of their paths. I make a vending machine run for sodas, just to have some way to help. And when I hand Mama Riley one, she grabs my elbow with a hand that's almost the size of Blake's.
I'm sorry about all that unpleasantness earlier, she tells me, her voice eerily subdued.
Oh, it's fine, I say, embarrassed. Blake, he already told me what happened between them. His mother nods like a sage. I had my suspicions.
Me too,
I blush. I mean, I had my suspicions that you had your suspicions. My tone grows awkward again. Why didn't you say anything?
To him or to everyone?
Both. She sighs. I kept my mouth shut because it was obvious my boy didn't want anyone to know. I thought maybe he was trying to spare his sister's feelings.
He was, I confirm. But he was trying to protect Molly, too.
Not that she deserved it. I don't hate many people, but Blake's ex definitely tops the list.
I figured that, too.
She nods sadly.
That's Blakey's best trait, you know? His need to protect. To make everyone happy,
even if it means sacrificing his own happiness, is the unfinished sentiment. And my heart clenches painfully, because I know it's true. As over the top as Blake is, he lives his entire life for other people. Look at the way he took Wes under his wing last season, the way he dropped everything to help take care of Jamie when he was sick. Blake Riley is a better man than anyone gives him credit for. And I'm ashamed of myself. I'm so fucking ashamed for ever believing that he was just a stupid jock who was incapable of being serious.
Anyway, you're a trooper, Jess,
Mama Riley says, while I continue to beat myself up for being such a jackass.
Just want you to know I appreciate it.
Then she gives me another oxygen-depriving hug, which I try to reciprocate. Maybe in time I'll learn to get a full breath of air before she does that. It's only an hour later when Charlie reappears in the waiting room wearing a surgical smock and a smile.
It's a girl, he announces. 6 pounds even. No name yet, but we're working on it. Brenna's all woozy, so I think my choice will prevail.
Mama Riley gallops over and places both hands on his shoulders.
Is Brenna okay?
Of course. She just yelled at me to take more pictures, so I'm thinking that's a good sign.
The other Riley swarm Charlie to congratulate him, but not me. I need to sit down, like yesterday. I slide into a chair, relief washing over me. The room is too bright all of a sudden, and there's not enough air. Brenna could have died. The blood pressure the doctor had rattled off in the waiting room downstairs was scarily high. And when I'd Googled preeclampsia during my sister's pregnancy, I'd been greeted by a lengthy list of horror stories involving seizures and both maternal and fetal death. I put my elbows on my knees and curl up around myself, quietly freaking out while the Riley family rejoices.
Jesse?
Blake sits beside me. When he takes my hand, his is cool, where mine is clammy.
Hey.
He kisses my palm.
What's the matter? Everything is fine.
I know. My voice shakes. It's just... My whole body shudders as I imagine other outcomes. That was scary, I croak.
Oh, baby.
Blake pulls me onto his lap and kisses my neck.
You were amazing. You knew exactly what was wrong and lit a fire under everyone to get to the hospital.
I was just guessing.
Nah,
he scoffs.
You saw some things. You had a gut feeling. You went with it. That's all everyone does. That's how I win hockey games. That's how your man Hozier writes those songs that make the girls throw their panties at the stage.
He runs a comforting hand down my hair, and I lean back into his touch.
You know what? I have a gut feeling right now, too. It says my girl hasn't eaten all day and she's fried. We're gonna take a peek at the baby, and then we'll go fix that, okay?
Someone brings us some pretzels and soda from the vending machines, and a bit later we're summoned to the nursery window. There, behind the glass, in a little bassinet, is the newest Riley. She's a teeny peanut-shaped person swaddled like a burrito in a blanket, wearing a pink and white striped hat. All that's visible is her round cheek and a shock of brown hair poking from beneath the edges of the hat. Her eyes are scrunched tightly shut, as if her slumber requires great determination.
Aww,
the Riley clan choruses.
That's she,
Blake sputters.
I'm an uncle. She looks just like me.
I assume he's kidding, but when I look up at Blake's face, it's rapt, and his eyes are shiny. I press myself against his great bulk and push my face into his chest.
One hand clamps around me, and I have a moment of complete happiness. What's more, I no longer feel as though this was the weirdest day ever.
Standing here in the circle of Blake's arms, witness to this amazing family moment? It feels absolutely right. Maybe I am suffering from low blood sugar, and there must be reproductive hormones off-gassing throughout the maternity ward.
Look!
Mama Riley crows.
Here comes the name!
A nurse in teddy bear patterned scrubs walks over, flashing a smile to everyone on our side of the glass. She affixes a small sign to the bassinet. In black Sharpie, someone has written, Annalise Jessica Daly, born November 2, 4:36 p.m.
Oh, man,
Blake chuckles.
The middle name was supposed to be Blake. You've stolen my honor, J-Babe.
He picks me right up off the floor and kisses my cheek, laughing. Oh, my God. I'm staring at that card in astonishment. Maybe Jessica was already one of the names they'd been kicking around? There's no way your sister named that baby after me.
Yes, she fucking did.
He swings me around in the circle like a rag doll.
You're stuck with us. Deal with it.
After more baby ogling and several rib-cracking hugs from Mama Riley, Blake and I find the hastily parked Hummer in the hospital lot and speed away. He drives with a hand on my knee, singing along with Mick Jagger on Play With Fire. And I'm so pieced out that when he butchers the lyrics, I don't even have the urge to correct him. Much. We pull through the drive-thru of a McDonald's, and I feed him French fries as the lights of downtown Toronto approach. The food shores me up. So when Blake parks his car beneath his apartment building and turns to me, saying,
Thank you for saving my sister and my niece.
The words nestle comfortably in my chest. I'm glad to have helped, I say, instead of arguing with his logic. For the first time since I got here, I feel certain that nursing is something I'm going to excel in. Maybe my grades won't be as good as Violet's. Maybe I'm going to panic once in a while.
But I'll just keep paying attention like I did today, and I'll learn to get more things right than I get wrong. That's all any of us needs to do.
Will you stay the night?
Blake asks. Yeah, I say immediately. And thank you for asking, instead of, well, just assuming. His face softens.
I'm sorry. I'm just used to...
He looks oddly embarrassed. Women throwing themselves at you, I supply. He clears his throat.
Well, yeah. Bossy works for me, on most girls.
I'm not most girls, I argue instinctively. Blake grins.
I know. That's why I want to kiss you so bad. Can I?
Okay, I whisper. His smile comes closer. Then he takes my mouth gently, his lips soft. I draw a deep, slow breath and slant my head to improve our connection. Blake's teeth graze my lower lip, and then he deepens our kiss. I open for him instinctively, welcoming him in. Whenever he touches me, from the very first day we met, I always melt like candy in the sun. Before, I'd blamed this on my own lack of willpower. But tonight, I don't want to blame anyone. I just want to grab his shoulders and lean in. It isn't long until we're steaming up the Hummer. Blake groans and breaks our kiss, his forehead against mine.
Let's go upstairs, baby. I want you in my bed.
In the way of two people who are in a hurry to pull each other's clothes off, we hustle through the lobby to the elevator. It's smooth sailing up to Blake's floor. The minute we enter his apartment, he kicks the door shut and pushes me up against the wall. Our kiss skips all the preliminary stages and goes right to a five-alarm fire. He wedges one muscular knee between my legs and then lets out a loud moan.
I want to do you on every surface of my apartment. Can't decide which one should go first.
I look up at his movie star handsome, square-jawed face, my breath sawing in and out. This beautiful man wants me so badly, he's trembling. How did I get so lucky? I guess we'd just better start somewhere, I say solemnly. Sounds like it's gonna be a long night. His answering smile is so bright and warm that I might need to remove some clothing just to survive it. So should he, I suppose. My fingers find their way onto his buttons, and I undo them. His chin drops as he observes me. Am I doing it wrong? He shakes his head.
You've never undressed me before. I like watching it.
When the halves of his shirt fall apart, I palm his chest and sweep a hand up and down his abs. Blake tips his head back and sighs with happiness. My fingertips tease lower, skimming the soft skin just above his waistline, trailing through the fine hairs leading down into his shorts. My mouth waters, just knowing what's waiting for me.
I'm still wearing pants, Jessica. Why am I still wearing pants?
I snicker. Sorry. Allow me to rid you of your trousers, my lord. His expression brightens.
Are we role-playing? I love role-playing.
Of course he does. Maybe another time. I need to brush up on my Elizabethan English first. He waves a hand.
Nah. They still use the same words for fucking. Like in Romeo and Juliet, when she's all, a blowjob by any other name will still make you come.
I burst out laughing. God, Blake, you're priceless. Then I drag his zipper down before he can spew more made-up Shakespeare lines, because, as entertaining as it is, my body is tingling with impatience. Blake groans when I free his erection. It's thick and pulsing in my hand. The bead of moisture at the tip moistens the pad of my thumb. Taking a breath, I slowly sink to my knees. He watches me from above with heavy-lidded green eyes. He slides a hand through my hair and leans his head back against the front door, the muscles of his chest tight with anticipation. When my tongue circles his swollen head, he makes a low, tortured noise, his fingers forming a fist in my hair.
Feels good,
he mumbles. About to get better, I mumble back, and then suction my lips around him. He jerks, and I smile against his hot, velvety flesh. I suck him down as deep as I can take him, which isn't as deep as I'd like. But it's his fault for having such a huge dick, the jackass. My fingers curl around his base to grip what my mouth can't, stroking him in time to the glide of my lips and tongue along his shaft. Every loving lick makes my heart pound harder. I want him to like this. No, to love this. I want to worship his cock and show him how much I...
How much you what?
The curious voice in my head messes up my lazy rhythm. I end up taking him too deep, and my throat rebels against the thick intrusion. As I gag, Blake quickly pulls out with a soft murmur of reassurance.
It's okay, baby. I don't expect you to deep-throat me.
I choke out a laugh. If only deep-throating was the cause of my muddled thoughts. But it's not. My emotions are all over the place right now, and I don't know if it's because of all the excitement today or because...
Because what?
Awesome. My own brain is taunting me. I push aside the unsettling thoughts. I don't want to think right now. I don't want to search for answers to questions I'm not ready to face. What I want is to lose myself in Blake Riley. Come here. I tug on his hand and urge him to his knees. He does it without protest, and then his mouth is on mine and his hands are snaking their way under my shirt. He peels it over my head, undoes my bra in an impressive one-handed feat of dexterity, and tosses both items away. Neither of us cares that we're still in the front hall. I don't even blink when Blake nudges me onto my back. I barely feel the cold floor beneath my bare skin, because his body is producing enough heat to start a fire.
Wanna be inside you?
He latches his mouth onto my neck and sucks hard enough to make me shiver. Meanwhile, his hands are pushing up my skirt and coaxing my panties down my legs. I loop my arms around his neck and pull his hair to bring up his head. Then, I kiss the living daylights out of him and rock my hips upward in a desperate attempt to create some friction. Blake grunts against my lips. His rock-hard erection is like a branding iron against my thigh.
Hold on, babe. Let me suit up.
I'm so mindless with need that I just keep rocking, until finally he grips both my hips and fixes me with a very un-Blake-like glare.
Keep doing that, and I'm gonna come all over your leg.
Is that what you want, you evil woman? God, no. I want him inside me already. Why is he taking so long? My impatient grumble summons a bark of laughter from him. He reaches for his discarded pants and fumbles around until he finds a condom. In no time at all, he's covered in latex and plunging into my needy core. Blake, I gasp. He doesn't answer. He's too busy setting a fast, relentless pace that steals my breath and my sanity. His thrusts are so deep, so deliciously violent, that our bodies slide forward on the hall floor. My head bumps into something, a duffel bag, I think. I don't care. Nope. Don't care and hardly notice as his jackknifing hips practically fuck us all the way into the living room. I cling to his shoulders and squeeze my eyes shut, letting the pleasure take over. When the orgasm comes, it's not in lazy pulsing waves, but an instant explosion of bliss. I shudder and curse and forget my name. I vaguely register a growl from Blake, an agonized,
fuck yeah,
punctuated by one final thrust, and then the ferocious trembling of his body. It takes several minutes before we're able to move. I'm pretty sure I'm in cardiac arrest. Blake's chest heaves as if he's just skated his ass off to kill back-to-back penalties. Eventually, he speaks, his voice laced with humor.
Front hall, check. What room should we tackle next?
Mick Jagger is yelling at me. Blake. I don't want to move. Actually, I might be physically incapable of moving. Sex marathons tend to do that to you. But as much as I want to stay in bed all day with Jess Canning wrapped around me like a full-body scarf, the sunlight streaming in through the curtains tells me that it's morning. Or at least, I hope it's morning, because I have practice at 10. Shit. I hope we didn't sleep through the alarm.
Trying not to wake Jess, I carefully lift my head and crane it toward the clock. 8:50. Nice. I'm right on schedule. I stretch my arm out to turn off the alarm before...
If you start me up!
Fuck. I curse when an explosion of music rocks the bedroom. I have the song programmed so that it skips the intro and gets right to the good stuff.
I'll never stop!
Except the good stuff is loud. A tortured groan sounds from the mattress. Why is Mick Jagger yelling at me? Jess wails. I finally manage to shut off the alarm and grin down at the grumpy blonde in my bed.
Sorry, babe. I like to wake up with the Stones.
Well, I like to wake up with my eardrums intact. She sits up and rubs her eyes. What time is it?
Almost 9.
That gets her attention. Crap! She flies off the bed with a burst of speed that my coach would be proud of. I have to go.
Me too.
I move a bit slower, staggering to my feet.
What do you have going on today? I'm not sure I'll have time to drop you at the dorms this morning. Practice starts at 10.
Don't worry, I'm fine taking the subway, she says as she ducks into the master bath. I have a meeting with my program director at 11. Her voice grows muffled as she turns on the faucet. Come back.
What was that?
I bulldoze my way into the bathroom, flip open the toilet lid, and grip Snake Riley in one hand. Blake, she sputters in dismay. Why are you peeing in front of me?
Why not?
Because it's... She gives up and turns back to the sink. Do you have a spare toothbrush?
Second drawer.
I finish my business and flush, then walk over to stand next to Jess. His and hers sinks, baby. I laughed at the real estate lady when she raved about that particular feature, but now I'm digging it. Jess and I brush our teeth side by side. I make silly faces at her in the mirror, and she laughs so hard she spits out a mouthful of toothpaste and it drips down onto her bare tits.
Gross,
she says with a sigh, then bends over to wash her chest. I admire the view of those perky puppies swaying over the sink. Then I admire her round ass, and her firm thighs, and her cute feet and bright red toenails. I could get used to this. Waking up next to Jess every morning, doing this whole domestic routine together. I force myself to quit leering at her. My dick is already semi-hard and getting harder, and we don't have time for a quickie.
What were you saying before?
I prompt.
About your meeting.
She rinses her mouth before shutting off the tap. My final grades come back today, she confesses, and there's a deep furrow between her brows. The director meets with all the first-year students one-on-one to discuss their first trimester's grades and performance.
You still worried about the pharmacy exam?
I ask sympathetically. Pharmacology, she corrects. And yes.
Don't. I bet you aced it.
I wish I could be as confident as you. A smile touches my lips.
That's your problem, J-Babe. You're lacking in confidence.
I shift closer and capture her delicate chin with one hand. Look at that hottie in the mirror, I order. Her head tilts toward me. Blake?
Nope, just look.
I force her chin to the side so she has no choice but to look straight on.
See that sexy mom appearing back at you? What's her name?
Jess Canning. Her dry voice tells me she's humoring me.
Yep, it's Jess Canning.
I sweep my thumb over her jaw.
And who's Jess Canning?
A groove appears in mirror Jess's forehead. What do you mean?
Who is she, baby?
She sounds even more confused.
You need a hint? Okie dokie. Repeat after me, okay? I'm Jess Canning.
No, she grumbles. Mirror Blake arches his brow. Oh, fine. I'm Jess Canning, but she's rolling her eyes as she says it.
I'm going to be the best goddamn nurse on the goddamn planet.
She hesitates, so I pinch her chin. I'm going to be the best goddamn nurse on the goddamn planet.
I am strong and confident. Nothing keeps me down. I can achieve whatever I set my mind to. I'm the brightest crayon in the box, the sharpest skate on the ice. I eat weaklings for breakfast and spit 'em out. I am woman. Hear me roar.
Jess doubles over in laughter. It's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. I'm not saying all that, she says between giggles. I fix her with a serious look. Fine. Just the first part, then. The amusement in her big brown eyes falters, but then it's replaced with a gleam of determination. Pride wells up in my chest as Jess crosses her arms and glares at her own reflection. I am strong and confident. Nothing keeps me down. I can achieve whatever I set my mind to. That's my girl. I smack her perfect ass. Now get dressed before I bend you over this counter and fuck your brains out. We both got somewhere to be. Her eyes meet mine in the mirror, twinkling playfully. Bend me over and I promise I'll go boom in 2 minutes tops. A groan rises in my throat. My cock rises just as fast. Then it's on like beer pong and another surface of the apartment is properly christened. We're in the elevator by 9:30, which gives me plenty of time to speed over to the rink. Best thing about 10 o'clock practices is that I get to bypass morning rush hour. Jess is checking her phone as I punch the lobby button, but when I put my arm around her shoulder, she leans in and brushes an absent-minded kiss on the bottom of my chin. I love how touchy-feely she's becoming. It's such a turn-on. Smiling, I run my fingers over the side of her throat, but the skin there is so soft that I can't not kiss it. So I start kissing it. Jess moans and lets her phone drop into her purse. You're such a horn dog, she accuses. Like that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I lick a path up her neck to her jaw, then kiss my way to her lips. When our mouths meet, she makes an anguished sound, and then practically attacks me with her tongue. Jesus. I cannot get enough of this girl. I want to do this forever. Kiss her, fuck her, love her. Love her. The thought barely takes root before the elevator doors ding open, and suddenly an astonished voice fills the small car. What the? Jess? We break apart so fast that the back of my skull bounces off the wall. Oh, shitballs. Wes is standing open mouth in front of the doors. He's got a hockey bag slung over one shoulder, a travel mug in his hand, and a horrified expression on his face. Behind him, Jamie stands looking every bit as surprised. Oh my fucking God. Wes bursts out, his gaze pinging between me and Jess. I did not just see you two lip-locked. That is so not cool. Jess recovers a lot quicker than I do. Good morning to you too, Wes. Can I have a sip of your coffee? His jaw stays unhinged. He stares at her, then at me again, then at the doors that are slowly sliding back together. In a flash, he thrusts out a hand to stop the doors from closing, then lunges into the elevator. Still looking stunned, Jamie hops in after him. The doors shut, and then we're all just trapped there together with Wes's reddening face. He growls like a pissed-off she-wolf, jams his finger in my chest, and actually threatens me. Paws off my sister, I mean it. Oh my God, Jess squeaks. I'm a grown-up, and older than you. I was having dirty, filthy sex when you were still trading hockey cards. Ah! Wes tries to cover his ears, even while holding a mug in one hand, but I hear Jamie snort. Honest to God, I'm offended right now. What's the big deal anyway? You like me. Shit, I thought they did. Your track record, Wes says, dropping his hands. It's not good. It is now. Jesus, this isn't just a hookup, Wesley. We care about each other. A lot. Tell him, Jess. I look over my shoulder and see my girlfriend's eyes pop wide. And my heart plummets.
That kind of Smith. Jess. My mouth is suddenly dry as I look back at three sets of eyes boring into me. My brother just looks confused. Wes looks like he's ready to rip Blake to tiny shreds with his bare hands. But now Blake suddenly looks unhappy, his handsome face falling. And shit, I don't want Blake to ever look the way he's looking now, like I'm about to reject him. This man has a heart the size of Ontario. He was far kinder to his crazy ex than I could ever be. And he spent the last week showering me with affection. Maybe I feel a little overwhelmed by life right now, but I'll be damned if I'll let him think that I haven't noticed just how special he is. It's more than a gut feeling I have about him. So I say what needs saying. Wes, I say softly, you'd better just get used to it. Blake and I are together for real. Blake's expression fills with surprise. Then he gives me a wide, wryly smile.
Aw, Jesse, you make me so happy.
He pushes me against the elevator wall and kisses me. Wes makes a strangled sound, but luckily the elevator doors ding open. As Blake steps back, I see my brother steer Wes toward one of the stone columns dotting the fancy lobby and say a few quiet words to him. Holding Blake's hand, I stop outside the elevator. Sorry about that. I don't know why Wes is being such an ass.
Hey, he'll come around. He squeezes my hand. Are you okay? Wish I could drive you to school.
I'll be fine. It's true, too. Even if I am about to learn I got a shitty grade on my exam, I know I can tell Blake later. He'll listen and then he'll say something sweet. Then he'll strip off my clothes and make me forget. We're good for each other. I've finally figured that out. Across the lobby, Wes takes a deep breath and lets it out. His shoulders relax. Then he dips his chin and walks back over to us, his gaze on Blake.
You'll treat her right, he says.
It's a statement, not a question. My eyes are rolling so hard right now, I could power that revolving restaurant at the top of the CN Tower. But I manage not to say anything snarky while Wes and Blake have their moment.
Of course, Blake assures him. You have nothing to worry about.
Wes strokes his chin and nods.
Okay, sorry. Apology accepted.
Blake's smile is blinding.
So,
Wes clears his throat.
We're a little late for practice. I was gonna drive Jamie to work, but... You need a ride in the Hummer.
Blake laughs.
That's rich.
Wes puts on his best humble face. But he's not very humble, so it's a stretch for him.
Please. I'll stop being an ass. Is that even possible?
Blake tosses his keys in the air and catches them.
Fine, bud. Let's go. Just stay out of the backseat, because that spot is special to me and Jess now.
Both Wes and Jamie look horrified, but Blake just laughs. He gives me a kiss on the forehead and a promise to call me later. Then he and Wes depart.
So,
Jamie shoves his hands in his pockets.
You want a lift? I've got the car now.
Sure. I follow my brother to the building's parking garage downstairs, but he's awfully silent. We get into Wes's SUV before he says,
Why didn't you tell me? Why lie and say it was a joke?
It was a joke, but now it's not. He sneaks a look at me.
Does that make sense?
Blake doesn't always make sense, I point out, but he's pretty great anyway.
Jamie snorts. You and Blake. That's some trouble right there.
Why? I'm ready to be offended. My family always assumes the worst of me.
Well, he'll want glitter and zoo animals at your wedding,
Jamie replies with a snicker. What wedding? I said I was dating Blake, not marrying him. My brother is quiet for a moment.
I know you're a commitment phobe, but now that the shock is wearing off, I can sort of see you two together. And Blake is the kind of guy that when he falls hard. Before today, I never heard him speak about any other girl the way he talks about you.
Oh boy. There's a lump in my throat when I think about how well he treated his horrible ex, even after she crushed his spirit. God, I hope I don't fuck this up. I can't even argue with my brother calling me a commitment phobe. My longest relationship lasted 9 weeks, and there was a 2-week spring break in the middle of it. I'll be good to him, I say quietly. Jamie gives me a smile, and there's no judgment in it. If I'm lucky, it will stay that way. My brother drops me off at the dorm, where I make a hasty clothing change. Violet is in our room, sitting on her bed. Hey, how was your week off? I ask, stripping out of yesterday's clothes. I reach for a button-down shirt and pull it on before I even notice how silent she's been. Violet? I prompt, turning for a better look. You okay? Her eyes are red. I had my meeting. Already? I shove my feet into a clean pair of pants. Didn't it go well? I can't imagine that Violet failed her exam. Ms. Know-It-All was well prepared. I got a B- on the pharmacology exam, she says with a sniff. God, I want a B-, I say, hunting around for some socks. My mother is going to kill me. This gets my attention. Why? That's ridiculous. Violet sighs. I'll get a lecture about setting an example. The Smith family has been demonstrating excellence in medicine for 100 years, blah, blah, blah. Wait, what? How is that your problem? It's this school, this place. My parents have an inflated idea of our importance. I think this through while putting on my socks. The Smith School of Medicine and Nursing has never been more to me than a name etched on a limestone facade. But my roommate's name is Violet Smith. Oh, shit, you're that kind of Smith? She nods miserably. And a B- is the end of the world because your name is over the door? I'm trying to listen, I really am, but in 10 minutes I have my own meeting. There goes my spring break trip to the Bahamas, Violet mumbles. I was really looking forward to it. I'm sorry, I say kindly. I felt family pressure, that's for sure. And I'm pretty sure mine was even deserved. But you have to be proud of yourself for you. They won't be able to lord vacations over you forever. You have your own life. She gives me some teary thanks, which I barely have time to accept. I grab my coat and my backpack and slip on some shoes, and then I'm out of there. Halfway to the director's office,